Blog Talk Radio.
A Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great to you wherever, and oh, by the way, whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studios of New Braunfels, the studios of eloquentonline.net in beautiful, muggy New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, going solo today. Troy is out for one more week, but we're planning to have him back next week. And as if you recall, last year we had Freddie from Freddy's Frozen Custard and Hamburgers on the show to celebrate Veterans Day. And we are looking for a veteran from the more recent conflicts. Hope we can find one. If you know somebody at your bank or at your credit union that served in Operation Iraqi Freedom, what we call OIF-1 or OIF-2, or in Afghanistan, we would love to talk to them as we celebrate Veterans Day next week on the show. And by way of a program reminder, we are getting down to the end of the busy broadcast year here at the Power of Performance, the show that asked the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? And part of putting on that great live performance is understanding your audience, understanding the data that you've collected from previous and current audiences. And so today, as we get ready to do Halloween tomorrow, we're going to do a show called Big Data Isn't Scary. And we're going to have Jay Kassing with Marquee joining us here after the break to talk about his new book, aptly titled Big Data. Big birthday shout out to Lisa Kuhn Phillips at CU Passionista, a sharp young lady. Her birthday is actually tomorrow, which I think is cool. I was born in October. I was not born on Halloween, but my birth picture is pretty scary. But Lisa Kuhn Phillips, good CU mind out there celebrating her birthday tomorrow. So we want to do a big shout out to her. And of course, as you've heard me say many times on the show, I was born in Texas. I'll be buried in Texas, but my parents were born in Fall River, Massachusetts, and I have been a participant in Red Sox Nation since 1967, and I'm doing the show right now adorned in my Tim Wakefield 2007 home Red Sox jersey. Tonight could be the night that the Red Sox win their World Series for the first time at home since 1918. We may have to ask Jay how much data existed in 1918 compared to the data that's going to be created in the 30 minutes that we're doing this show. And speaking of Jay Kassing with Marquee, we're going to talk to him, and we're going to do it all right after this. Hey, no matter where, no matter when, this is Jason and Troy, and you are listening to The Power of Performance. That is right. Troy is always here with us in spirit. Hey, Jay, how you doing?
Man, I'm doing great. Jason, thank you for having me on.
Man, ever since I kind of badmouthed the studio audience a few weeks ago, they've really been on the money. Great to have you on the show. I think the first question, since we have people joining us all the time on the show, we had a huge audience for the CU Around the World show that we did on International Credit Union Day, and an international audience. Had some emails from people that the World Council does business with in other countries. Tell us first a little bit about you and what you do at Marquee.
Well, I've been a part of Marquee since the beginning, but as an organization, we've been on up 26 years. And We provide data analytics in a variety of forms of software, services, and consulting to financial institutions, banks, and credit unions across the world. And we're the largest provider of said analytics to this market and also direct marketing services and fulfillment to make sure that people execute what they want to accomplish with the data, which is ultimately about the whole big data concept and what that means.
Exactly. That's right. And in the interest of full disclosure, just so people that might be listening to the show for the first time know, Marquis is also the sponsor of our humble radio show. I called Jay at 3 o'clock in the morning. He didn't realize he was saying yes, but he said yes, he'll sponsor the show. Best time to call somebody and ask them for that kind of thing. Now, listen, I, like you, have been fascinated by big data, and I think maybe like you, approached it, as I do everything, with a little bit of skepticism. But before we get there, if somebody came up and said, you know, Marquis, you guys have always talked about data and information that you can't ignore. If somebody walked up to you and said, hey, you know, Jay, what in the world is big data? What would you tell them?
Well, big data is data that's larger than you and I see on a regular basis. And it typical, just as a point of reference, give you a scale reference, the kind of information held by an average credit union would relate to a Twinkie the size we normally find in a store.
Right.
Big data would be a Twinkie the size of a city bus. It is not a database that our existing systems at a financial institution could manage or process. It's beyond the scope of the technology we have because the amount of data is so large and the amount of records, data points are so big, incredibly complex. So imagine trying to bring that into your organization and you're trying to get your IT guys to respond to some simple things when they're already overwhelmed. Let's go ahead and give them some more stuff.
Right. Yeah. Now,
so
some
big data is a big, huge, complex database. And we think of megabytes and gigabytes, and the next thing up would be terabytes, and 1,000 terabytes is a petabyte, and then you get to exabytes, so it's 1,000. That's big data. Databases we just don't think of on a regular basis.
Yeah, and it is. It's the numbers kind of get scary. I mentioned to you before the show that my brother lives out at Fort Meade, Maryland, right next to the NSA center. And, of course, the NSA is building a big data center out in Utah where they're going to actually analyze something called a Yodabyte, not like Yoda from The Empire Strikes Back, but Yodabyte. And it gets into numbers that I can't even really process in my head, 100 to the 24th power and this kind of stuff. But some people will say big data is not new. It's the old data being used differently. What are your thoughts on that?
I would agree with that. I mean, you know, what was it, 10, 15 years ago, they're mapping the human genome using big data. So it's not new. They've been crunching data statistically for, you know, a generation anyway with the computing power we've had. It's just not maybe been as accessible to, you know, the average financial institution or business. What is unique now, though, is there's all of the new data that's coming from access to the Internet and what people see, what people visit, what they Google, what they don't, the sites they visit. All of these new pieces of information, things they post in Facebook, things they say on Twitter, all of these elements can be added to the data points that are out there for financial institutions to want to leverage, or any business. The challenge is it's all of this other new data that's unstructured. On your existing credit union platform or bank platform, you've got your loans and your deposits and your account numbers and your member number, and they're all very specific defined fields. I don't want to get too technical, but it's very structured. All of this other new data that we're finding that we didn't have 10 years ago is unstructured, which means you have to do some very special routines to make sense of any of it and then to leverage it. Of course, it's all that new routine and all that new analysis that's incredibly expensive.
Right.
And requires, you know, enormous sophisticated technology and people who know what this stuff means and how to make sense of it. The data has, while there may be new data points, this kind of analysis, everybody wants to get a step up. Everybody
right.
wants to be the person that knows and has knowledge so they can leverage it first and take advantage of it. In Wall Street, just today, web giants threatened to end cookie tracking. I don't know if you saw this, but it talks about the cookie wars. A battle is brewing to control online tracking. Instead of cookies, Google and Microsoft are going to be doing the tracking or want to by assigning a user number. What is this about? It's about data, data points, sellable information that they can sell to marketing firms or to big retailers or to manufacturers. I mean, you look at even soft drink makers. There are people who love their Dr. Pepper down here in Texas where we are.
Yes.
Dr. Pepper founded here, right? Yep. It's a big deal. There are true believers, Dr. Pepper every day. That's what I'm doing, 10, 2, and 4. And Dr. Pepper would love to know who all those people are. And they're maybe not getting all of those people at a Facebook like. So how are they going to collect all that information? This is what the next data point is. How do I get the information from retail to the manufacturer to understand who this consumer is so they can reach out directly with offers and get their input more directly? How would you like to be involved as a true believer in Dr. Pepper in developing the next product?
Right.
Well, if they're true believers, they're going to be the ones that probably want to buy it, so we want to get their input.
Well, your book arrives at a conclusion that I agreed with, but kind of surprised me, and I don't want to get ahead of myself yet. But one of the panels in the book, and of course I'm looking at it on my iPad right now. I know I've got the real book coming to me in the mail. Before we get too much more into the content of the book, I want you to remind people about the unique way in which this information is presented, because it's always been one of my favorite things about the books that you put out. There's a very unique way that you assemble this information in the printed word, isn't there?
Well, thank you. I think so. When you write a book, and one that's specially written for a very narrow market, you know, you think of financial institutions, it's not like you're going to sell a million copies. What you're trying to do is communicate your opinion with fact, and draw a conclusion that you hope illuminates and compels people to action in some way. And the way I do my books, they're very visual. I try to use pictures as metaphors, try to encourage you to think of things differently. Not a lot of words on a page. And in a lot of business books, you can write 10, 12,000 words, but 500 would probably get the point across just as well.
Yeah,
and I'm a less is more. What's the most important point we're trying to make here? Let's make it a couple of different ways, and let's move on. You're going to be able to read what is big data and what can big data do for you or not, and that's the book title. It's a 15, 20-minute read.
Right.
And you're going to be able to understand what it is and how it relates to your financial institution.
Well, that's absolutely right. And folks, we're visiting with Jay Cassie. He's one of the principal owners of Marquee, talking about his new book about big data. We're going to continue our conversation, and we'll do it all right after this.
Man, when I'm listening to The Power of Performance, I just can't decide who's hotter, Jason or Troy.
Well, you can't tell by the way I use my walk. I'm a woman, man.
Well, Troy isn't here today, so that kind of narrows it down a bit. But Jay's with us. He's hot. He's talking about a hot topic. The hot topic is big data. And one of my favorite parts of the book, I'm looking at it right now, it says data is king. And, you know, companies like Walmart and Kohl's will actually use local weather forecasts. For instance, here in New Braunfels, it's muggy today, so you might have a spouse like I do, who feels that no matter whether she needs something or not, if she's got Kohl's cash laying around on the kitchen table, hey, some of my summer stuff is getting a little ratty. It's not as cold as I thought it would be here at the end of October. She's going to go to Kohl's, and because Kohl's knows what the weather is here in New Braunfels, they're going to have stuff for warmer weather marked down. And that's just a very general, benign example of taking all kinds of data, retail data, weather data, demographic data, and stuff like that. Do you see a similar parallel for banking brands where they could use that kind of information to intentionally engage their audience with big data?
Well, yes and no. Yes, they need to leverage data. I don't refer to it as big data, because we're not dealing with the complexity. Words mean things. And my opinion is the phrase big data is being corrupted and implied downward into small little databases. In other words, we're replacing data analytics and identifying opportunities in our member information as, oh, that's big data. It's not big data. We're not even in the same ballpark here, all right? You're in New Braunfels. You'd rather be in Boston at Fenway, right?
Yes.
That's about as close as you are to big data at a financial institution. Now, that's unless you're the size of a Navy, a Federal Credit Union, right? Those guys might consider doing some things on a more on a larger database scale. Might. The key is there's data enough. If you're not doing anything with the information you have now, more data isn't going to help you. More data is not the answer. That's probably the theme through the book. Data? Yeah, absolutely. Use it. Leverage it. Generate revenue opportunities. They're there. They'll scream at you if you look at the data. The challenge is there are very few people who can synthesize this information to make sense of it.
Well, this is one of my favorite parts of the book. And like I said, it surprised me when I was going through it this morning, and I'm actually reading now from the book. It says, data is a big thing. Big data is a ruse. Unless you live on a global scale on par with Coca-Cola, Facebook, or McDonald's. When I saw that, it surprised me, but I agreed with it. And I think, banking brands, we tend to go to the same conferences, we talk about the same things, we read the same blogs, we follow the same people on Twitter and Facebook and elsewhere. This is one of the things that worries me, that banking brands will now go out there and try to identify their big data rather than using the data they have available to them right now.
Right. It's a great way to repackaged technology that wasn't moving off the shelf, so let's call it something, the new hot thing, let's call it big data. Great, if we can do that, people will start going, wow, I need that. But you didn't need it last week when we called it something else. You just got to be careful, and you got to start asking good questions. But I'll say this about data and the need for it. A recent research project by the ITA Group and the Financial Brand found that high-growth financial institutions spend twice as much on data analytics than their peers. So identifying, understanding, and leveraging information about your members and the market you serve, and then taking action will generate twice as good of returns.
Yep.
Why aren't you doing it?
Exactly. And I guess what I wanted to ask you is you came to this conclusion. I mean, it's pretty bold. You call big data in the context of our, your average, above average, sub-billion-dollar banking brand. It's a ruse. It's overhyped. You use some of these words in the book on your own. You quote other people. When you started, this book is a product of a solid year of research. When you started doing the research, was that the conclusion you thought you would come to, or did you go into it without knowing what your conclusion was going to be?
I don't think you can divorce yourself when you start a project. You have a thought. No, I thought there was going to be something to it. I really thought there was going to be this new magic bean that would be out there. And I guess the thing that turned me was the more you read the research articles of the benefits of big data, well, the benefits of big data are the benefits of any data analytics consultant that could look at your data, the benefits of any MCIF CRM program, the same basic data. And there are some really cool, sophisticated things that people are doing now with these tools and with these consultants that they weren't doing 10 years ago. And you just have to do it. And you just need to invest the effort and energy to bring all this data into these tools. And, okay, bring 1,000 data points. Great, bring it. And analyze it. I would say that the line of – so anyway, so to conclude that, I thought there would be something to this, but the more I looked at it, the more articles I read, the more people I talked to, the understanding was that the results, the benefits, what am I going to get for the money – and the effort, the time, and the treasure, well, it was nothing new.
Right.
There was no
and I had a similar revelation. Unless you are the NSA or Google or Facebook or Microsoft or Apple.
That's right.
And I think it kind of gets down to what you guys have been talking about since I've been paying attention to Marquee back in 2004 time frame, is take the data you have and turn it into information you simply can't ignore. I enjoyed reading through this today. I think anybody, I kind of sense that there are going to be people around the country listening to this kind of going, whew, I'm glad I don't got to worry about big data. I can just start using the data that I have because there's plenty of it out there if you'll just take the time to analyze it. But if people want to find out how to get your book, how do they do that?
I think the easiest way is to just email me. It's JAYK at GoMarquee.com. Email me. I'll send you a link to the book, and you can, or just you can give me your email address or your phone number, whatever you want to give me. I guess your address so I can send you the physical book. That's what you want.
Right.
You send me that, I'll send you the book.
And, folks, if you're listening to this broadcast in the archive, that link is also here on the episode page. If you look there below the show description, you'll find the link, and I tested it yesterday. You just click on the link, you get taken right to the page, and you can also explore some of the other books that are out there. I had a friend of mine over at GTE Financial, Michael, who is a former college football player, and I had him on another show that I do, an internal show I do for GTE Financial, and I told him, I said, man, you've got a great story about how you apply your football career as a four-year college football player at a Division I school, and now you're a high school football coach and a manager of a branch over there at GT Financial. I said, you should write a book about this, and I got just the kind of book you should write. And he got your book mailed to him, and he absolutely loved it. Absolutely loved it. So,
that's nice. I mean, my books are filled with lots of pictures and unicorns and candy canes. I mean, the content is rich enough, but it's the style that I think is that people are drawn to. They can get what they need to get in 15 to 20 minutes, and that's about as much as we have time for.
That's true, and that's the other thing is, you know what, you don't want somebody trying to read through a 600-page business book when they should be out there analyzing their data and intentionally engaging the audience of their brand. Jay, I always, always, always enjoy talking to you. One of the reasons I wanted to start doing this radio show is because I would have conversations with people like you and Troy. And I'd be like, gosh, I wish somebody else could have heard that conversation. They were always very, very illuminating. And we've been talking about stuff and the future and the marketplace that is the banking marketplace for a long, long time. I consider you a good friend and a friend of the show. You're always welcome. And I want to wish you nothing but continued success with everything that y'all do at Marquee and with your newest book. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your day to join us.
Well, you're welcome. You're very kind. I love being here, and likewise, I wish you and Troy great success with the show, and everything continues.
All right, brother.
Thanks
you take care,
me.
And I'll talk to you very, very soon. Everybody, that's Jay
Casting.
With Mark. In my audio, it cut out just a second when he said his email, but it's Jay, J-A-Y-K, at gomarquee.com. Email him. He will email you the book, or give Marquee a call and ask to talk to him. Always a very fascinating guy to talk about, whether it's the contemporary banking marketplace. And, of course, one of my favorite subjects to talk to Jay about is the future, where we're going with all of this. Hey, folks, with about 5 minutes left in the show, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to do a little product review of the Microsoft Surface that I purchased last week, and I'll talk to you about that right after this.
You're listening to The Power of Performance. If your brand were a band, would you leave your audience wanting more?
And that is right. You are back on The Power of Performance. Again, thanks to Jay Casting with Marquee. Big Data Isn't Scary, and the book isn't either. So go with that book. Buying Microsoft products, however, is still pretty scary. I needed a new laptop for the house. I have a MacBook. There are three iPads in the house. And the one thing about my iPads, they never really replaced my MacBook. So I've been doing a ton of research and stuff like that, and I decided I'm going to give Microsoft one more shot, and I'm going to go out and get the base-level Surface, you know, $329. Walmart had a thing. Speaking of scary, folks, I know people make jokes about this. They call them Walmartians and stuff like that. I did the little site-to-store thing where you order it online and you go out to the store. Folks, Walmart was the most terrifying place I have ever walked into. I mean, I can't even describe the stereotype that you hear about Walmart is nothing compared to the real experience. And I live in what I think is a very nice town, and from a demographic standpoint and a economic standpoint, I was literally petrified. I had that thing held close to my chest, running out to my car. You know, I've got a concealed carry permit. I mean, I was just like, man, let's get out of here before things get really rough. But anyway, so I get the Surface. I got to tell you, I like the product. I do. It is very, very unique. It has some advantages, I think, over the iPad. I think had I purchased the Surface when I purchased my first iPad, I think it would have gotten me a lot closer to what I was hoping to accomplish with the purchase of my iPad back in 2 or 3 years ago, which was to replace my MacBook. I think the Surface would have done that a little bit better. And so it is. It's a beautiful product. It's a very, very intuitive product. It does a lot of stuff in a very, very elegant, functional way. The only problem is it's Microsoft. And what I didn't understand is a simple thing like downloading the Facebook app. I thought, oh, that's simple. Let me just download the Facebook. You can't do it. Your system requirements do not support this. Now, the Microsoft people out there are going to be screaming into the radio, well, it's called Internet Explorer. Just go to Internet Explorer and go to Facebook and sign in on Facebook. Well, I've become accustomed to the iconography of Facebook. You just push a little square. And yes, I know my Facebook on my MacBook is better than my Facebook app on my iPad. But the point is, in trying to find out why I couldn't get Facebook, it compelled me to do the usual thing, call the Microsoft store. It's listed online. We're open from 9 to 9, Monday through Friday. I call. They're actually not open till 10. I get on, try to do the chat with the technician. I get the guy from the Philippines, the empathy king. I am very sorry you were having this problem. Every other thing, I'm so sorry that this is frustrating for you, but never had a chance. And after 20,000 empathy statements, then he says, I've got to get you over to the Surface support team. So you take the little survey. You know, at the end, 1, 1, 1, 1, all the lowest things, and then the chat crashes, so you can't even send the feedback. So that's just, I think the product is great. If I had to rate it on a scale from 1 to 10, I would probably give it a really strong 8, but it loses 2 points because it's got that Microsoft. I bought this for the house, not for myself. I am a Mac guy. If Scott and Ike are listening to the show, they're going to send me angry emails that I ever bought a Microsoft product. But I will tell you that The product itself is actually pretty good. It's actually really, really pretty hot. But it's Microsoft. And when you get into the Borg and have to deal with their support services, you just never know what you're going to get. Hey, folks, have a great Halloween. Remember, big data isn't scary. You don't have to worry about it. Go get the book. You can go to gomarquee.com and find out how to do that, or email jayk@gomarquee.com. And we'll see you next week for our Veterans Day special. Talk to you soon.